Okay, how about the devotees in Seattle were trying to save Joy, some devotee named Joy, who had become confused by the visit of the yogini. Was there anything about a yogini recently visiting? Let's go back a little bit then. Someone asked about meditation. Prabhupada asked, what do you mean by meditation? This is where it was. This is where this was before. It was like this. Okay. Sitting alone quietly. How is it possible, Prabhupada said? Is there any experience that the mind is not acting when you sit quietly? You have to engage your mind in something. What do you engage it in? Yes, Prabhupada replied, that is Krishna. We engage our mind in Krishna, the beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only simply engaging the mind, but engaging the mind in action with the senses. Because mind is acting with our senses. Your mind said, let us go to that newly started ISKCON society. So your legs carried you here. So mind, thinking, feeling, willing, these are the functions of the mind. You have to fix up your mind, not only thinking of Krishna, but also working for Krishna, feeling for Krishna. That is complete meditation. Someone asked if a Christian, by reading the Bible and following Jesus' words, required a spiritual master. As soon as you read the Bible, Prabhupada replied, that means you are following the instructions of Lord Jesus Christ. So where is the opportunity for being without a spiritual master? I was referring to a living spiritual master, the person said. Prabhupada, you may accept the spiritual master or that spiritual, this spiritual master or that spiritual master. That is a different thing, but you have to accept. When you read the Bible, that means you are following the spiritual master represented by some priest or clergyman in the line of Lord Jesus. So, in any case, you have to follow a spiritual master. There is no question of being without spiritual master. Is that clear? And then somebody says, many different sects of Christianity interpret the Bible in different ways. Prabhupada, there cannot be any interpretation in the Bible. Then there is no authority. Just like this is a watch. Everyone has called it a watch. And if I call it a spectacle, then what is the value of my being spiritual master? I'm misleading. It is a watch, and that I must say. This intelligence you must have. Who is a pseudo-spiritual master and a real spiritual master? Otherwise you will be cheated, and that is being done. Everyone is interpreting in his own way. There are thousands of editions of the Bhagavad Gita, and they have tried to interpret it in their own way, all nonsense. They should all be thrown away. Simply you have to read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then you'll understand. If anyone can understand the clear passage, just like the Bible, God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. What is the question of interpretation? Yes, God created. You cannot create. Where is the opportunity of interpretation? Am I right? In the beginning of the Bible, it is said like that. God said, let there be creation, and then there was creation. So what is your interpretation? Tell me what is your interpretation. Can any one of you suggest? One can explain. That is a different thing. But the fact that God created, that will remain, that we cannot change. Now, how the creative process took place, that is explained in the Bhagavatam. First of all, there was sky, then there was sound, then there was this, that. But the primary fact that God created, that will remain in any circumstance. Not the rascal scientist who says, oh, there was a chunk and it split up and there was this planet. Perhaps this and likely this. All this is nonsense. Why? Perhaps. Here is a clear statement. God created. That's all. Finished. Another guest said he didn't feel subordinate to anyone. Therefore, he didn't feel he had to bow down to anyone. Indirectly, he was criticizing the devotees' offering of obeisances to Prabhupada. It is a material disease, Prabhupada replied, to think that we don't have to bow down. He demonstrated logically that nature forces each of us to be subordinate, to bow down to old age, disease, death, and many other things. The guest, okay, but who or what should I bow down to? Prabhupada said, since you are being forced to bow down, now you have to find out where you shall be happy, even by bowing down. And that is Krishna. Your bowing down will not be stopped, because you are meant for that. But if you bow down to Krishna and Krishna's representative, then you become happy. The disciples were submissive, and therefore only to them could the spiritual master impart knowledge of Krishna consciousness. But some of them were also doubtful, and Prabhupada had to convince them with the same logical arguments he used with the outsiders. Devotee, Prabhupada, how do you logically explain to impersonalists the existence of the personality of Godhead? Prabhupada began to explain the three features of the Absolute and compared them to the three features of the sun, namely the sunshine, the sun disk, and the sun god. Using the well-known example, he thoroughly explained the existence of the Supreme Person as the source of all expansions, including the impersonal Brahman. But the devotee was not yet satisfied. How does one explain to such an impersonalist the absolute truth logically? I was told Srila Prabhupada had such a proof. Prabhupada, apart from Bhakti Vinod, trying to understand in your common sense, painstakingly Prabhupada explained again, this time at greater length. He quoted the Vedanta Sutra, verse Janmadyashayataha, explaining how everything in existence comes from the Supreme Absolute. Therefore, as we are persons, there must be a Supreme Person, the reservoir of all personality, from whom everything comes. As we experience that our Father is a person, therefore we are persons. Often Prabhupada was simply saying there is God and one should love God. But one student protested, why love of God should come in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement? Student, if our first concern should be to serve God or Krishna, then why should there be a movement? You might get so caught up in the movement that you're forgetting about serving God. Prabhupada, why am I serving God? This movement means I am serving God. What do you mean by serving? If Krishna says you obey me and I say you obey Krishna, is that not service? Student, yes. Prabhupada, so we are doing the same business. Krishna says surrender to me and give up all other engagement and I shall give you protection. And we are saying the same thing, that you surrender to Krishna and you will be happy. So we are voluntarily giving service to Krishna. Preaching work is the best service if you preach rightly. If you preach wrongly, this is disservice. You have to simply say the same thing as Krishna. Student, but the movement might get in the way of serving Krishna. Prabhupada, it is in service to Krishna. Because we have understood what Krishna wants, we are preaching the same thing. Student, was there always a kind of movement? Prabhupada, yes, the movement is always there. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, my dear Arjuna, whenever people are misguided and there is too much irreligiosity, at that time I appear myself. The material world is such that if something is set right, still sometime it will be distorted. Therefore, a movement is required whenever there is a deterioration of the real truth. But it is the same movement, not a new movement. The movement means God is there, He is great, and we are all subordinate. Our duty is to abide by the order of God. Then we are happy. The movement is simple. The same movement was preached by Lord Krishna. The same movement was preached by Lord Jesus Christ. The same movement we are also preaching, simply accepting the authority or the greatness of the Supreme Lord and engaging oneself. That's all. There is nothing new. Don't try to see something new. It is the oldest because God is the oldest. You are also the oldest and your relationship is also the oldest. Therefore, the movement is also the oldest. But the process adopted is suitable for the time. That is also not new, not manufactured. It is recommended for this age. Just like during the winter season, the process is to protect your body from being affected by cold. Similarly, in this age of Kali Yuga, it is recommended that God realization is only possible by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Many of the youngsters would try to catch Prabhupada in contradictions. One boy noted Prabhupada's statement that it was natural for a child to drink milk and not eat the meat of an animal. The boy argued that if Prabhupada's emphasis was on being natural, then it is natural for a child to grow up, shave his head, and serve God? Or was that just another form of socialization? Another challenge asked Prabhupada why the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was incorporated. Another asked if the sadhus in India who wore long hair and wandered in the woods needed spiritual masters. The questions revealed the guests' uneasiness. Prabhupada was demanding a full commitment to the truth. they could understand that if they accepted that he was representing the truth, that he was presenting the truth, and they too, like the bright-faced disciple sitting beside them in the crowded temple room, should bow down to Prabhupada and Lord Jagannath, join the movement, shave their heads, and go out chanting Hare Krishna. At least that was the implication. So those who were deeply wanted to avoid the austerity, the surrender, the uprooting of a whole lifetime of illusion, sought out the flaws, the possible contradictions. But kind and lenient though he was, Prabhupada, never demanding that they shave their heads or live in the temple, continued to defeat their doubting arguments, expose the weaknesses of their atheistic reasoning, and smash the folly of their material desires. He ruled forth as Krishna's representative, speaking from the blue and gold velvet Vyasasan in the front of the Seattle house. Woman, I wish to see proofs of afterlife in writing so that I can read it and study it and examine it carefully. Is it available in writing? Prabhupada, read Bhagavad Gita, you'll understand everything. Woman, that's 68 volumes? Prabhupada, no. Bhagavad Gita is one volume only. 18 chapters, 700 verses. You can read it in 3 days. It is not very difficult. We have published Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I think if you read it, you will get so many nice informations. After reading Bhagavad Gita, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you get further enlightenment. Then you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and you get further enlightenment. And for general information, we have this Back to Godhead. You can read. It is not that simply we are talking. We are backed by sufficient knowledge and literature. And so it went into the evening. 9 o'clock turned to 10, and 10 o'clock to 10:30. Is Bhakti Yoga for everyone? What about Kundalini Yoga? Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to fight? What about Christ consciousness? What about the Trinity? Prabhupada was completely absorbed in defeating arguments and answering questions about Krishna, a samadhi of debate on behalf of his Lord Krishna. Yes, he did expect them, if they were gentlemen, to accept his presentation as correct and to make a real commitment to Krishna consciousness. So here is the offering, Prabhupada said. Take Krishna consciousness, now it is your choice. If you can take it, it is good. If you don't take it, that is your misfortune. Is there any difficulty to accept our formula? I ask all of you, is there any difficulty? I'm asking this. You have asked so many questions of me, is there any difficulty to accept the formula? The assembled guests and devotees murmured in reply, no. So why don't you take it? Prabhupada laughed. It is so simple, nice. Try to understand by your knowledge. We are not pushing forcibly. You have got your intelligence, argument, logic, everything, but you'll find it sublime. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita said that we are placing it for your judgment, not that we are pushing it by force. Sometimes it is said that the Mohammedans propagated their religion by holding a sword in one hand and the Quran in another hand. Not only the Muslims, Christians. The Christians enjoy the reputation of being the most violent religion ever. Well, not the Christians, but Christianity at least. Either you accept Quran or there is a sword for you. Krishna consciousness is not like that. It is placed for your judgment, and if you like, you can accept. Otherwise, I came here empty-handed. I shall go back empty-handed. There is no loss, no gain. Prabhupada laughed with the satisfaction of the completely surrendered servant. Then he asked them all to chant Hare Krishna. Then Tamal Krishnamurti makes a last comment. At this point, I could recognize that Prabhupada was my complete Lord and Master. When he would get up from the Vyasasan, I would just grip his feet and hold them and hold them. I would hold his feet at my head and I wouldn't let him walk at all. I was so eager to be at Prabhupada's lotus feet. I wanted to be with him as much as I could. I would feel very torn apart when he would go to another temple. I remember sometimes after the program he would finish eating a piece of fruit and would throw the peel on the floor. We would all jump for it and fight with each other in front of the altar and Prabhupada. We would be scrapping around like little puppies. Prabhupada would lean back and laugh. He thought we were making very nice advancement by this. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the next section is page 821 in the middle of the page. Okay, 821, yeah. I'll put the marker there too, otherwise it's confusing. Okay, so now we get a chance to hear from Srila Prabhupada in the dais room.